I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Diaries by the Heart. I'm Caitlin Prest.
May 29th, 2003.
December 12th, 1996.
5:22:69.
05:11:15.
At the back of a closet in a cardboard box, Tina Horn's diaries gathered dust. In the box, there are books from girlhood covered in collages of unicorns and dragons and cutouts of David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. And among those collaged girlhood diaries, there are simple spiral-bound notebooks filled with obscenities.
Elaborate punishment. Panty gag with saran wrap. Bondage. Flog. CBT. Anal play. Slapped his big dick around. Golden shower. Suspension bar. Crop balls and dick.
Introducing Tina Horn.
On a residential street in a working-class neighborhood, there's a house with boarded-up windows. The mistresses who work there call it the big house. Those walls have seen plenty of torture, but also lots of laughter and relief. Many mistresses have taken sessions with clients there. For several years, in my mid-20s, I was one of them. Dominatrix has never felt like the right word for me. Sometimes, sure, I was encased in leather, clicking my stilettos along the hardwood floor, but just as often, I was showing how much pain I could take, or playing elaborate adult improv games, or fucking my female coworkers for show. My fellow pro-doms and I spent as much time keeping the place running as we did in sessions with clients. We had a clipboard with a long list of behind-the-scenes chores.
Organizing the date book.
Folding towels.
Folding red top sheets.
Folding black fitted sheets.
Wiping down the rubber wall.
Pulling cotton ropes out of the
drying. Spraying dildos with mat aside.
And
taking the dildos off the drying rack and putting them back in the room.
Sweeping the wooden stairs.
Picking up garbage.
Watering the plants.
Feeding the fish.
Turning on the 3CD changer.
Candle wax out of
taking glass inventory
photos.
Of carabiners.
Fleet enema kits.
Lube bottles.
Paper towels.
Green tea.
And macaroni and cheese.
None of our glamorous work was possible if we didn't get those chores done. Our boss kept a leather-bound datebook and a wooden card filing cabinet in the little office off the negotiation room. After your day of sessions, you were required to fill out an index card for every client you saw. You wrote the day's date, the client's name and birthday, your mistress name, and any important information about your session. What did the client look like? What did he ask for? And what did he really want? Did he push your limits? Did he tip? Did he take more or less than he thought he could? You put all your index cards in an envelope, which you then turned over to the boss, Eventually, the cards were filed in the wooden cabinet for other ladies to reference. That card cabinet should be in the Museum of Sex. It should be donated to the Kinsey Institute. 2 decades of men's unspoken fantasies recorded and archived by women. Vulnerable male desires transformed into female stories. There were cards in that cabinet written by women who had come and gone, whose advice helped my creativity and my safety in session. I was very grateful to them, especially the ones that were funny or emotionally unguarded. We weren't required to keep our own personal records, but I did. I kept extensive, detailed, coded notes in nondescript spiral notebooks on every single session I ever did. Sean, 5/22/69. His perineum is his weak spot, so I massaged it while he gazed adoringly up Mara's skirt. SR. Self-release. In this position. Greg, 10/1/49. Serious FW.
Foot worship.
Foot fucking, toe sucking, massage, leg worship, the works. Made him play with Eve while I spanked him. NT.
Nipple torture.
Clothespins on nips, about 30 minutes. Lots of tease and torment, gangbang fantasy, flog. GS.
Golden shower.
Smart, gregarious, enthusiastic, loud moaning. Love this sub. Wants to try a crucifixion fantasy.
I got really, really good at being a dominatrix, like better than I've been at anything else in my life. Depravity just flowed out of me.
Bill, 6/18/77. Beefy sodomite. Sweet-faced and bright-eyed, Eve sat in. Physical humiliation, OTK,
over the knee,
paddle, crop, medium pain tolerance, cuff sensory play with blindfold, Wardenberg wheel, rabbit fur, CB parachute, then cocksucking on bed. What a good little cocksucker took the entire huge pink one. Face fucked, fingered his ass, tried fisting, got pretty loose, then fucked with same dildo. GS, SR,
shower, self-release.
I took my notes from my own personal collection. I couldn't not take them. They made me better at my job, too. The more I was able to recall about my clients from session to session, the more blown away they were by my apparent ability to read their minds.
Leaf, 1/11/60. Half hour double with Zoe. Elaborate role play. Me, teacher. Zoe, student. He gets punished for tormenting substitute at the request of his aunt. Must be humiliated in front of fellow student Zoe by over-the-knee spanking. Then we leave room only to return and discover him humping the floor. SR. Nice guy.
As soon as I entered a session room, I felt more than human. I was transformed into a creature of pure imagination. But the control room in my mind was always busy. My consciousness sort of split into levels, like a performer doing a high wire act, or like someone in the wilderness calling on everything she had to survive. I watched the clock to create a narrative arc. My burned CD mixes paced an hour session. By the time the CD gets to Stray Cat Blues by the Stones, you should be coming. By the time it gets to Fade Into You by Massey Star, you should be putting your pants on. I'd be lying cane strokes down someone's ass until welts rose up like bright red railroad ties, while in the control room of my mind, I was simultaneously thinking, is my lipstick flaking? Is that other mistress done with her golden shower so I can give this guy an enema? If this session goes over, are the other girls gonna remember to see my 2 o'clock? with all that concentrating, I had no room to think about any of my problems.
Gym, 12, 14, 49. 1 hour, boudoir. Only Spanx. Cheap cokehead. Doesn't listen. Boring. Annoying to the max.
I once worked the day after a horrible breakup. That morning, I biked to the big house, hoping for a slow shift. The kind of shift where we sat around watching porno on dusty old VHS tapes, making stovetop percolator coffee, and waiting for the phone to ring. Instead, when I walked into the office and glanced at the log, I was already booked solid. A list of numbers and acronyms I knew well. RP, CBT, AP, SO, GOG, GS, XD, NT. My variety show. As I struggled to put powder on my puffy, underslept face, I wondered if I would be able to cater to everybody else's needs. The day was as busy as I've ever been, something like 6 sessions in 8 hours. I'd dash out of one session, tearing off a Velcro plaid skirt to change into a black cocktail dress, turning on a dime from top to bottom, person to persona. All day long, I was an emotional improviser, and I barely thought about my ex. At the end of that relentless shift, I felt cleansed. I had purged my heartbreak through other people's fantasies. I was ready to move on. And it was always like that. Writing on my index cards and in my notebook helped me to come down from the adrenaline high of the day. My paperwork was my ticket back to reality. I stuffed my lacy lingerie and vinyl boots into my locker. Before I got dressed to bike home, I sat sweaty and topless in the office next to the wooden filing cabinet. I drank a beer and took my time to get every detail down for my future self and for the future girls in the house.
Jeff, 10, 31, 67, 1 hour, Spank and Tickle. Sadist, Bob, Heavy Spank, 9, 20, Jiggle, 50, Paddle, 3 hours,
Silly,
Steve, Friend Self-Release, 1, 30, 50,
$50 Nordstrom's gift card,
Australia,
2 bottles of wine,
Self-Release,
Fruit,
Massage,
Talk,
Sexual Harassment Table Turn,
Catherine Smothered Bob with her tits,
Warren,
Clothespins,
2,
3,
Inner Thighs,
4,
Nipple Clamps,
Crop,
Spank,
Story of Mom Catching Contractor, Sniffing Daughter's Skid-Marked Panties,
Slapped his big dick around.
Elaborate punishment.
No SR.
Panty gag with saran wrap.
Anal play.
Bondage.
Golden shower.
Fun torture.
Cursing.
CBT.
Verbal abuse.
Self-release.
Face slap.
Hair pull.
David.
Flog.
Bondage.
Nervous.
Suspension bar.
Needs.
Hugs.
Metal spreader bar.
Sweet.
Crop. Balls and dicks.
Slow, light CBT.
Spank.
The best kind of sucker.
After 4 years, I left the big house. I still took sessions as an independent, and I still kept my notes. I moved to New York City and began to focus more on writing than on pro-doming. I had always imagined myself as a silver fox sex worker. Plenty of women I know work well into their 40s, 50s, 60s. But I was only in my early 30s, and I was tired. I was tired of lying to my family. I was tired of shaving and shopping and modeling. I wanted to get all the weird tattoos I wanted to get to settle into my body. In California, I'd been able to market myself as a beautiful weirdo. My extra weight and short hair were codes for an alluring iconoclasm. In New York, I soon realized I was more expected to conform, and I found that more draining than any boredom or disrespect I had ever felt in session. My femme drag just wasn't fooling anybody anymore, and I was no longer interested in going down a road where these things that I loved about myself would be a professional hindrance. It had never felt that way before. I didn't really mean to retire. I just took less and less sessions until one day I wasn't taking any sessions at all. It's been a few years now. Instead of mesh panties, I wear boxer briefs. Instead of a leather bustier, I wear a leather jacket. I wear cotton instead of latex. It breathes more. I visited my mom in California recently. My dungeon notes were stashed in a box of my teenage diaries. When I read them, I have to admit, I miss being a dominatrix. A lot. Looking at my notes now, I'm comforted by the thought of the hundreds of index cards that still sit in that wooden cabinet at the big house, one for every session I did. I liked thinking that I was taking care of the other women I worked with, taking care of the women who would come after me. I like to think about the beautiful women who are working at the big house right now, strangers to me. The new women who are getting booked with the same men, the Steves and Roberts and Anthonys who are still searching for satisfaction. I like thinking of mistresses in pre-session silk robes and flip-flops, opening a drawer to read about a client, finding one of my cards, grinning, sliding the drawer shut, and knowing just what to do.
This episode was written by Tina Horn, produced by me and Mitra. Tina Horn also writes books, one called Love Not Given Lightly. And she also has a podcast of her own that's called Why Are People Into That?
Because I think there are a lot of ways to enjoy it. And if you are feeling like you should or you want to, maybe you haven't found the right way yet. Maybe you want to eroticize the feeling of power of having this part of your partner's body in your mouth and under your control. Maybe you want to eroticize the feeling of having your, like, your mouth, which is like your means of communication, being taken away from you. And maybe it's none of those things and you just actually don't want to do it, and that's actually okay. Not everyone has to be a cocksucker, and at the end of the day, if you don't want to suck cock, then there's more for me. So that's it. Yeah.
You can check out all of her work at tinahorn.net. The Heart is Caitlin Prest, Mitra Kaboli, Jen Ng, and Sharon Mashihi. Do not forget to send us pictures of your diaries on Twitter and Instagram. Use the hashtag HeartRadioDiaries. And if you haven't gone to check out the companion piece of Tennessee Watson's Silent Evidence story on Reveal, that's a radio show and podcast by PRX and the Center for Investigative Reporting, you should subscribe to it right now and check it out. It's an investigative look at how child sexual abuse cases fall through the cracks.
Radiotopia.